Good morning, Ford Alliance and our extended digital family. It's just awesome to be with you guys. I am so excited for where we're heading today. Just a moment, I'm going to talk about transformational thoughts and transformational things in my life. And today we come to a text that's been humongous in my journey and in my walk with Jesus. And I'm really looking forward to digging into that with you. Before I get there, I just want you to know, next week I have a special guest speaker lined up. Pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be a blessing for a number of you to tune in. So next week, make sure you tune in and join us for our service and the special guest that I have lined up for us. So I mentioned transformational thoughts and things for me. And last week, I ended the sermon talking about four of those things. The first was confession. I just want to stop on that one for a moment. Confession, initially, in my walk with Jesus, so important, which I'm going to touch on more. But also like continual confession, huge in my journey of faith. Now speaking of which, there it really is no more transformational moment than the moment you confess to God that you realize you're a sinner and that you need Jesus. This is the most significant thing that you can do in your life. I was talking this week, actually, with one of our elders who has a few little guys, and they've been going through a book that grandma and grandpa had bought them over Easter. And at the end of this book, it came to an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. And so he asked his little guys, "Is this something you would like to do?" And they began talking about and processing it. And through this book that grandpa and grandma gave, this little guy put his faith in Jesus over this kind of few weeks after Easter here. How cool. Like, that's what it's all about. Those transformational moments where you realize, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I confess that. And I just give my life to you. That stuff excites me. Like, I love hearing those types of stories, and young and old alike. I know for some people, they think, wow, when you're so young, really? I mean, let me tell you about me. I came to faith when I was 5 years old. I'm telling you, it was a bedrock decision in my life that changed me, and I'm certain of it. And I look back on it, and I know that it was authentic and real. Now, does that mean I didn't have mountains and valleys, highs and lows, and moments of wondering or even doubting and questioning? Of course not. I had all those, like every single person does. But that has been such a significant moment in my life that even at five, I'm convinced our young ones can come to that place where they realize that they need to confess their sin and invite Jesus into your life. I so remember this moment, actually, that I remember the exact room I was in, how the furniture was arranged, the way that the couches and such looked and dated themselves and such, that when I was in my 20s, and my parents had finally decided to get new furniture. Obviously, they waited till my brother and I were out before that happened, for reasons that I would not be uncommon to any family with a couple little boys. I said to them, whoa, don't just throw that couch away. I remember on that couch, sitting with my dad and saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me of my sins? I want to be your child. I want to be your follower. And so they cut me out a bookmark that I still have from the couch that I accepted Jesus on. And it's that velvety, flowery material from the 80s and, well, kind of late 70s. But, like, I keep it in my Action Bible. Well, actually, this is my kids' Action Bible. This, by the way, if you got little ones and you're looking for a good animated kind of comic style Bible, this one's like the best out there. It is so well done. So I keep it in there, and it kind of makes me think of my boys and then my faith as a child. It's such an important thing, that transformational moment of confessing. So that's the first one. Let me pause there, actually. Maybe you're tuning in, you heard me week after week speak this out, and you've yet to to come to that place. Please hear me out. There's nothing more important in your life than coming to that transformational moment where you come to the one true living God and you say, Jesus, I am sorry. I realize that I'm naturally a sinner who's wandered and walked. Will you forgive me, Jesus? Here's my life. Take it. It's yours. If you have not done it, there's no more important thing you can do than come to that place. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, my life is yours. I encourage you to just pray that prayer. It's going to lead into many more transformational moments, but that is the moment something significant shifts, and we want to ensure that you've had that chance to pray that this morning. Well, speaking of which, there's those other transformation moments. I mentioned three for me. One was that renewal of the spirit, the spiritual renewal that happens. And we talked about that last week. We're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit and his filling in a couple weeks. But that's been critical for me. If you want to hear more about that, you can go back to last week. A third one that I've talked about lots in our fellowship is recognizing that Jesus is the good shepherd, and that we, the sheep, know the shepherd's voice. Jesus told us that he is the shepherd, and he is speaking, and that his sheep would know his voice. So learning to be in tune with and tune into the voice of Jesus. And then the fourth, which we come to today in our text, is recognizing that there's territory, or there's stuff and things and places in my life that the enemy has gained access, and I need to get rid of that. I need to see that stuff released in my life so that I could be a man just fully surrendered to Holy Spirit and have him move into every part of my innermost being. The text I'm going to get to is going to touch on that. So let's go to that right now. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. So Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Let's read it together. So, remember that, so it's going to be taking us back to last week. We're to be people who are renewed by the Spirit. Okay, so those who are renewed by the Spirit. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Oh, there are so many for Christ moments in here. Remember, we talked about in the first three chapters, we are in Christ. Then in these last three chapters, it's all about being for Christ. And you can see just numerous for Christ applications in this passage. And I want to kind of take a thread that's woven through it and bring it out, because it has been one of the most transformational thoughts and transformational parts of my walk with Jesus. So I want to go to 31 first to make sure we really emphasize something that Paul has actually already pointed out, but he brings it out here again. It's this: do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. First, that is a very convicting thought. As we see right away, and I'll unpack more, if we've put our faith in Jesus, we've been marked or identified or sealed by the Holy Spirit. The living God is with us. He's in us. And we have this capacity to bring sorrow or to grieve Holy Spirit. Wow. I don't want to be that that kind of man. But remember, see, he has identified you, I already said that word, identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. I really want to settle in here because this is so important. Before I get to the big point that I want to make today, I want to make sure none of us miss this, that we, via faith, have been identified. We've been marked. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are God's, okay? We can take this to the bank. Don't for a second with where I'm about to go question this, because Paul is actually re-emphasizing it right here at the end of this. We are God's. He brings it out actually first in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read it for you, verses 13 and 14. And now, you Gentiles, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, here we go, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago, the same type of language. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. When I spoke on this, probably a few months ago now, we talked about this word identified is probably best translated as sealed. And it's this idea of God having this signet ring where he seals, he marks us. It's like we are his and nobody can take that. We have been marked. We have been sealed by God's. We are God's. This is so important before I go to where I want to go that we get this. Because of our faith in Jesus, we are God's. Don't question it for a moment. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. We are God's. You, through faith, are God's. And the Holy Spirit is with you. He's in you to seal that, to identify you, to mark you. You can take it to the bank. So, have I been clear? Like, is that, we're good? Okay, good. So, having been clear on that, I want to backtrack into the text. Because there's something that Paul brings out here that, for me growing up, I wasn't taught. And when I entered into my training, my pastoral training, it was, I don't want to say left out, but maybe glassed over, not spoken about, kind of just lightly pushed to the side, if you will. It's verse 26 to 27. It says this, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now remember, Paul is writing this to the people of Ephesus. More specifically, this letter is to the church of Ephesus. This is a letter written to believers, okay? This is a letter written to people who have been saved by faith, who've been identified, sealed, marked as the Holy Spirit. And yet, he writes, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. As if there's a means or a way for a believer to give foothold, which I'll unpack in just a moment, to the enemy. This is very significant that we understand what's going on here. Let's start with anger. I don't think it's coincidence that Paul used anger here as an example of a means to giving the devil a foothold. I mean, he talked about it even at the end of the passage, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slanders, right? Like, there's a bit of that theme woven in. But I don't think it's a coincidence, and here why is why. Anger is a human emotion that's really common to all of us. It's an emotion that we have because we're created in the image of God, and God himself has moments when he's angry. He's a God who experiences anger. Difference is he's God, right? And so his anger is always holy. It's set apart. Maybe you've heard the term righteous anger. He doesn't have the fleshly human part of us, if you will, as he processes that anger. He's holy in his anger. You and me, however. Remember that flesh we talked about last week that's oh so weak? Anger is such a difficult emotion to navigate in the midst of flesh. And maybe I'm speaking for just myself here, but I see some heads nodding. Good. You know, the thing about anger is for some of us, it's something that we outwardly express, often quickly. And it's somewhat explosive at times. That's me. Probably surprises all of you, right? For others of us, though, because it is an emotion that we do all process, for others of us, though, we internalize that, don't we? And it boils to the point of, at times, feeling like we're going to combust. I just don't know how to process that. It's there, though. Anger is an emotion that we all work through and need to process. And I'm, like I said, I'm convinced Paul's is strategic in its use here. Now, I want to be careful when speaking and using words like always or every time, because not necessarily the wisest thing to use like all-inclusive blanketing statements like that. So I'll say it this way. Almost always in my life and in the lives of those who I process a life with and counsel with, almost always, anger is actually not the root of what's going on in us. I wanted to say it's always or it's never or, you know, words like that, but I felt like I better be careful in that. It's almost always not the root of what's really going on. All too often, anger is actually a disguise. It can be a disguise for shame. A means to hide certain parts of who we are. Anger is all too often, it can be a disguise for guilt, right? A means to protect ourselves from that which we're guilty of, and we know it. Anger, all too often, it could be a disguise for fear. That's very common. When, in my journey, when I have these sharp bouts with anger, sometimes it's fear. Fear maybe not having control or not being thought of well, or, you know, it's tied to fear. Anger can be a disguise for fear. This is probably the heaviest and maybe most sensitive one. Anger can be a disguise for unforgiveness, a means to keep us safe from wounds that someone else has inflicted on us that are not reflective of God's heart, that wounds that have hurt and taken things from us that should have never been taken from us. Anger can be a disguise for unforgiveness. And so I don't for a second think it's a coincidence that Paul goes to anger here and says, don't let sun go down on your anger, for anger gives foothold to the devil, because it's all too common in the human experience that anger is covering up shame or guilt or fear or unforgiveness. And as a result, we have allowed sun to go down. And anger as a disguise to many of those things gives a foothold to the devil. This word foothold, it's really important. I think of foothold, I think of like an MMA match, which is not really what's going on here at all. It's so much more than that. As some translations have done, in my opinion, a horrendous job at translating this word foothold. This word foothold is actually a Greek word topos, and topos is a word that is describing a place or territory. This is so important to understand. Topos is describing a place or territory. You don't even have to be a Greek scholar to figure this out, because topos is actually the root word of one of our English words, topography. Right? We tracking? Don't let the sun go down on your anger, for anger gives territory. Territory to the devil. Like I said, this is really, really important. What I'm saying here is that it is possible, and in fact, I'm willing to go so far as to say common, for the believer to actually give territory in their life, in their being, to the devil. Let me unpack that. What I'm about to get into, I know that it's not a universally accepted reality. And hear me out. I realize that in Christendom, in the broader Christian faith, that not everybody agrees with what I'm about to say. And you need to know I'm okay with that. I really, really am. And in my experience, I growing up, I didn't have anybody explain it like this. And it was really glossed over in my training. And I'll speak into that soon too. And in my journey, it took me about 5 years to process where I'm headed today in such a way that I was comfortable like today to share and to speak it out. And so you need to know I'm okay that if even us here or you online are just not at the place where I'm at today, I'm comfortable with that. This is a pretty dare I say, standard or normal understanding in Christian Missionary Alliance circles. You're going to hear this taught regularly at Alliance churches, for we are a fellowship of believers that are looking to experience greater levels of spiritual renewal. So this is pretty common to the Christian Missionary Alliance. But the thing about the Alliance is we're like this mixed mash of different backgrounds, and even in our fellowship, we have everybody from Catholic, Anglican backgrounds to charismatic backgrounds to no faith backgrounds. So we come with all of that, and that is totally okay. But I want to bring this out because it's been so freeing in my life and so freeing in the lives of people that I've walked with that I can't not bring it out as your pastor. For anger gives foothold or territory to the devil. When I was in college studying, I heard things often stated like this. Well, in regards to spiritual warfare and the devil and his territory and his rule, darkness can't dwell where light is. So it's not possible for a Christian to be possessed. I'm going to unpack that word in just a second because it's brutally used in the church. I get the point, which, like I said, I'll unpack in just a moment. But it's not true. Even in the Bible, in the book of Job, you see the devil in the throne room of God. Darkness with light. In Jude, the New Testament, you see the devil in the presence of God. Darkness with light. It's not a true statement. At least not this side of heaven. One day, there will be a new heaven, a new earth, where that which has been contaminated by the presence of darkness will be dealt with and it'll be forever gone. That is going to be a good day. This side of heaven, we're constantly in this battle with darkness and light. Now, in college, I'm told like, well, a believer can't be possessed, only oppressed. So just settle in with Jesus. I get the heart behind that. And I'll go back to what I just said. You've been marked. You've been sealed. Okay, possession implies ownership. You cannot be owned because you are Jesus's. Hey, I don't want us to miss that. But we cannot gloss over this talk of of oppression and just saying, well, you know, just settle into Jesus. Because the enemy is like a lion. He prowls, looking whom he can devour. And his purpose, as stated by Jesus himself, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is meddling in our midst every single day until that day we get to heaven and experience the glory of God and the goodness of God. And until the day that new heavens and new earth fully come into fruition, we'll be fully free from that. We got to understand he wants us to tap out, if you will. So as believers, we got to recognize, yes, we are sealed, identified as God's, but it is possible for the believer to give territory to the devil. And it is oh so important to our walk to release that territory, to have it released, to allow Holy Spirit to more fully move into that parts of our being and parts of our life. It's so critical to our wellness and to our walk with God. Now, some of you are right now thinking, oh man, I can't go there. This is so different than anything we've ever learned. And others are thinking, okay, so how do I fix it? There's going to be such a difference and willingness to get into this morning. And to both sides, I cannot in one message fully get us there. So I want to say this. If you are anything like me, and hearing this perhaps for the first time, or this being perhaps a somewhat of a new thought that the believer can give territory to the devil in their life, and you can't fully jump in with me here, it's okay. Please hear me. It's okay. It took me 5 years. Jesus is so good. He is so kind, and he's going to walk with you at whatever pace you need to walk at to get to the point where you can experience greater levels of freedom and healing in your life so that you can be more used for Christ. It's okay. I'm okay with that. I don't for one second expect you who maybe come from my background or my way of thinking to think, Pastor Ken said it, so flip the white light switch. I'm all in. No, I don't think that for a second. Please feel free to walk with Jesus and process this, to search out Scripture, to see his heart for you, to experience new levels of freedom and healing. And if for some wild reason a light switch is going on as we unpack this passage, praise God. It's just proof that the Holy Spirit uses donkeys like me, if you will, to unpack these things, because apart from him leading and guiding, those light switches can't go off. It is not me. It is him via his word working this out for us. So just know, if you're not fully ready to go into this next door portion here, it's okay. Move at the pace Jesus needs to move with. I know this season is challenging with COVID. We are a church family, and some of you I feel like I haven't seen in a year and a half, and it might be easy to think, no, enough of that. No, we're family. Even though we're connecting digitally, we got to press in and be okay with giving people the space to process things like this at the speed they need to. So I just want you to know that. And those of you who are at the other end, let's go. How do I deal with this? What's the key here? How do I unlock this? I wish I had a just do A and you get B this morning. Now, there are some of that within this text, but this is a journey. Oh, this is a journey. We'll unpack it a bit more as we wrap up. In some instances, we can simply just come and say, all right, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, forgive me. My life is yours. I come under your blood, and anything in my life where the enemy has territory, I want to see that release now. And there are areas that can happen in a blink of an eye in a moment. But the thing about territory is that for territory to be taken, someone has to be given permission to go there, at least spiritually speaking. And in our journey of faith, A lot of times the territory has been a result of us giving permission to the enemy. What I mean by that is most commonly we've come into agreement with some form of a lie. And in coming in agreement to some form of a lie, because after all, he is a liar. We already established that. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. We've given him access. We've given him territory, if you will. And all too often, those lies that we've come into agreement with, they are linked to some of our most painful, horrendous, deepest, darkest shames, guilt, fears, and unforgiveness. And that takes some time to unpack. Don't get me wrong, Jesus, he's a miracle worker. And I've seen him work miracles in my heart and my life and in others' hearts and others' lives. But it takes a willingness to be pretty open and pretty real, because we got to get to the point where we break agreement with those lies and openly deal with that shame or that guilt or that fear or that unforgiveness. Because via those means, we've given access or territory to the enemy. And as believers, it takes a lot of courage to be honest about shame, to be honest about guilt, to be honest about fear, to be honest about unforgiveness. But Jesus is good. He's so kind. And he wants to be a part of seeing that territory released, that Spirit can come in and fully fill those parts of our life. You know, I've talked a lot about how it took me about 5 years to be okay with this thought of the believer giving territory to the devil. This passage today was the like lock for me. Like, this is when I finally saw it in such a way that, yep, it's possible. But once I got there, I needed to find means or methods, if you will, to take back that territory, because I don't want to be a man who's given territory to the enemy. I don't want to live that type of life. I want to be completely and fully surrendered to Holy Spirit. I want to have him kind of just pouring out of me in every and in any circumstance I come into. And I realize I don't fully get there until the day I finally go to glory. But nonetheless, I want to make an effort to like pursue that, to press into that. And so, I mean, it takes some steps of faith, some acts of courage to unpack some of those things. That past shame or that past guilt, that past fear, that past or even present unforgiveness. One of the sources that I found to be helpful for me is from this book called Soul Care. It's not the way, it's not the only way, it is one of many ways. And funny enough, when I first was introduced to this book, I was very apprehensive to it. It's because I had shame. There was some guilt, some things that I didn't really want to come into the light. Now, you need to be wise in these processes, but I can honestly tell you that to another human being, and I know that is ultimately Jesus that forgives, but to another human being, every ugly, dark part of my life, I've said it out loud and confessed it to someone else because I just want new levels of freedom. There isn't a secret in my life that the enemy can come back at me now and go, I got you right here, because I told somebody that already. I really am a walking fool, all right? Like, I made some bad decisions. I've done some dumb things, and guess what? So have you. And I brought that stuff fully into the light because I don't want it to hold me back. And in the process of it, I realized there'd been moments when I had agreed with lies. And I had to break those lies so that territory could be released. This is a book that we have around here. This is actually our last copy. It's been sitting on my desk. I even gave my own personal copy away. I have no clue where it is anywhere. Someone out there in the world has Ken's marked up book with all my deepest, darkest secrets. Please don't share them with the world. I'm willing to talk about them with someone, but not with everybody, if you know what I mean. And if I need to get more of these, we can get more if you want to pick one. But this is a book that has been helpful for me. Again, not as the, but just as one of a number of ways to pursue the rooting out of shame and guilt and fear and unforgiveness. It's called Soul Care. And it's not a do A, B type book. This isn't a 5-minute read or an overnight read. This is like probably a couple month read where you dig out some of those things and find those areas where territory needs to be released. And as we do, seeing new levels of freedom and healing, allowing Holy Spirit to come and to move in to those things. And Ford Alliance, I'm not in charge or overseeing any other fellowship, so just for us for a moment, I'd encourage you all to at some point begin this conversation with Jesus. We just check. Maybe there is nothing. That really can be the case, but maybe there is some shame or guilt or fear or unforgiveness that's there that you just need to release. Because the one who's prowling around like a roaring lion, the devil, would love to take foothold. And he uses that stuff. Particularly use it when we agree with lies. And as we step into this, releasing of territory, as we move into these dealing with the heavy, kind of ugly parts of life, guess what happens? Not only were we in Christ, we have greater the capacity to be for Christ. As the Spirit fills us in fresh and in full ways, and we're going to talk about that, like I said, in a couple of weeks when we come to a passage in chapter 5. How much more from just this passage, although I could read all of chapter 4 and the first half of chapter 5, which our guest speaker will speak to next week, how much more can we do be these things fully surrendered, having the Spirit fill us in a fresh way, having released that territory? I mean, just listen to some of these things. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. This is something we do for Christ. Using our hands for the good work, then giving generously to others in need for Christ. It's a for Christ reality. Letting everything you say, I got some work to do there. Letting everything you say, wow, Spirit, I need you. Be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them for Christ. Instead, being kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, forgave you for Christ. See, the Jesus way is so much better. And the more we press in to know Jesus and to walk with him, the more we are honest with ourselves and are willingly giving ourselves the permission, the freedom to get after that territory that the devil may have, the more we're going to find ourselves like Christ, to those who are kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. That's the kind of people. This is the kind of church that changes Fort Saskatchewan. A people who are so for Christ that not only Are they experiencing personally greater levels of freedom and healing? But they're now conduits of greater levels of freedom and healing. And our community so desperately needs us to have the courage to first step in, to be a people who are for Christ, fully for Him, including ensuring that any territory that has been given to the devil is released in us personally. I'm going to wrap up inviting us to just a posture of prayer. And just invite you to join with me even right now, right here in this space at home. And to just open our hearts and our minds to Jesus, His voice, to the Holy Spirit's leading, to convict us if this is something that perhaps we or you need to step more into. To release any of the things that are those quick, yeah, let's get rid of that. But to open our hearts to a willingness to press into some of the deeper stuff. So would you just pray with me? Just join me in a posture of prayer as we wrap up here. Oh, Papa, You have been so gracious with me. You've been so gracious with us. We're thankful. You are the good, good Father who looks to just bring us into Your arms, into Your presence, and hold us so dear. Jesus, oh Jesus, You know what it's like, for You took on flesh, and yet You are sinless. And as so, You offered Yourself for the forgiveness of our sins, so that no matter what shame, no matter what guilt, no matter what fear, no matter what wound has been inflicted upon us that brings us to this position of being or holding a spirit or a posture of unforgiveness, You, through Your blood, have given us the capacity to release that to You. In fact, You hung on that cross because You want us to release that. Thank You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need You. Lead and guide me in my heart, my mind even now. May I pray as You're praying at the side of the Father there. If there's any peace in my life or in someone's life that's here now or watching, that we just simply need to say sorry, forgive Jesus. We do say sorry. We do say forgive us. Our lives are You, and we release that territory. We come under Your blood. We come under Your name. You are the Lord and the ruler, and You have authority, and we look to fully follow You. So lead the way. Where that territory has been meddled with without grounds or without legal right, we just break it off now in the name of Jesus for His honor and glory. And Spirit, we come now and ask You to convict each one and lead each one. As we've talked about shame and guilt and fear and unforgiveness that's often masked with anger, if there is something specific that You need any one of us to deal with it, we invite You to reveal that now. Now, Spirit, give us the courage to press into that, to find new levels of freedom, to seek out wise counsel, to come before You and have this dealt with. For You long to bring freedom and healing in all of its wholeness to us. For You don't long for any one of us, Your people, to walk around as those who've given territory to the devil. So lead and guide, Jesus, as you do in your good and kind way. Move us as a people, as Fort Alliance, as a people who would experience greater levels of freedom and healing just personally and corporately, that we might be a people who one day are conduits and bringers of greater levels of freedom and healing in this community. Jesus, we open our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strengths fully to you and what you long to do in our midst. May we be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, just as you. And may many come to know you as we step into this more fully. In Jesus' name we pray. And in Jesus' name we proclaim all glory to you, God. Amen.